Nice to be with you. 26-7 on a glorious morning down here on the Mornington Peninsula. Moona Links is where we are today for a special edition of The Breakfast Club. Thanks to AFL Sports Reading, the AFLPA, for the inaugural AFL Player Outduction Program. We often hear about the induction program, players coming into the game, but not so much the outduction, where the players are exiting the game, being the inaugural. It's the first one. So the idea and the genesis behind of this is from a gentleman who played many games for the Mighty Hawks. In fact, his 163 games between 1994 and 2004 were nothing short of stellar. And he's now the national program manager, or the national manager for the AFL program at AFL Sports Ready. Raiden Tallis is his name, and he joins us on The Breakfast Club. Morning, Raiden.
Thanks, Harf. Good to be here, mate.
Great to have you here. Great idea, this. I was speaking to my father last night about what we were doing this morning, and he said, what are you doing tomorrow? Because he lives down here. And I said, we've got the AFL outduction program. And he looked at me and he goes, that's a great idea. Because he's in a corporate business. And he thought, everyone talks about induction, but no one talks about outduction. Where did this idea come from?
Oh, I think it's an idea that we've been really thinking about for many, many years. We've, as an industry and AFL Players Association and Sports Ready, where I think we do a pretty good job at inducting the young players into the system, focusing more on their off-field development and welfare. And then throughout their career, they're well supported. But there was always this thing that over the years we spoke about that once they finish up, whether it's at the age of 22 or 32, and whether it's zero games or 200 games, we needed to better support the players on their transition out. So that was the idea behind it. It's been years in the making. We've finally been able to get some funding to put something together. We're really excited that we've got some good intake from the players that have transitioned recently.
How much of this idea and the concept has come from direct feedback from the players and the discussions you've had with them in the last 10 years or so?
I think it's always trying to understand whose responsibility is it for the transition out. Yep. There's so many stakeholders within the AFL that support players and do a really good job. And that ranges from the club to the Players Association to other stakeholders to player managers. And I think it's a job of all of us, really. We certainly support them when they're under the bright lights of the MCG, and I think it's only fitting that we give them that support. And some guys need it more than others. So, we'll continue to do that. This is the first time we've run this. As I said, the support that we've received from the players and the feedback from the players so far after day one has been really, really positive, and we'll just build on that for years to come.
So, Radar, why is it so important for an outduction? Most people will sit here listening to us this morning and say, when I finish up with my employer, they don't do anything for me. They just, see you later, son, go and find your next job. But from my point of view, and I'll put my player manager hat on, they don't have the experiences that others have had throughout their 20s particularly. So why is it important to provide them with skills and options to allow them to live the rest of their working life somewhere?
I think that's the major point, Rammer, is these players probably don't identify the transferable skills that they acquire as an AFL player. Some get it, some understand it, but even speaking to a couple of the younger guys yesterday, guys that have been in the system 2 years and now being delisted, it really highlighted them to them yesterday that they are valuable employees or prospective employees for employers out there because of the skills they bring. We can't forget that these guys have made it to the elite level of a high-performing team, and I think many organisations out there look for those skill sets.
So what are those skills then that you think that can be applied into the workplace straight away?
Oh, I think you can just, off the top of my head, it's your work ethic, it's your time management skills, it's your ability to work as a team. And what we're going to hear from today, we've got a lot of host employers coming down, and a lot of these host employers have former players that are now employees with them. And I think that they really see the value. This morning we've got CBRE, who are coming down, a commercial real estate company. They've employed about 7 players over the last 6 years in roles. And they don't do that out of the goodness of their heart because they're massive Carlton supporters. They actually see that their skill set is very good at talking to people and networking. And so I think that those are the skills that we need to really get these players to identify, because sometimes they don't see it in themselves.
I've got a question for both of you, and it's a difficult one, but is there a percentage on players that get to this point where they're terrified? Or what is the percentage of players that actually are embracing getting onto the next phase of their life?
Oh, look, from my point of view, no doubt. There's guys that... And we encourage all our guys that we manage to make sure that they're doing something outside of their football when they're playing, whether that's university, TAFE, job placement, working in a charity. They're the four options that we think are probably the easiest ones to do. But still, towards the end of their career, that they come to here and they're scratching their head worrying about it. Now, I think what Sports Ready are doing here, because they don't understand, I don't think the players that finish the game actually fully understand the skills that they have. They're probably scared to, they go, well, I just played football. That's it. They're probably scared to talk about, well, I showed commitment, I showed work ethic, I showed professionalism, I turned up, I made sure. You know, as simple as turning up somewhere every day on time is what an employer is looking for. They don't get that. Yeah, they don't think about that. All they think about is, I've played football for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. They don't think about the other skills that they've acquired through that time.
Can you put a percentage on it, or is it too difficult?
I don't know if there's a percentage, but I think it's one of those ones that everyone's different. And even we've found that the 37 guys down here, there's ranging experience and ranging needs for what they need. So Michael Jamieson, for example, he's down here more to further his network. He's got a good job. Whereas other guys here, they are that vulnerable player that's looking for the next opportunity. But I think, like, out of the sessions that we ran yesterday, they're starting to see the light. And, unfortunately, I shouldn't say it like that, but what Ramil's doing with his players as far as encouraging them to do things while they're playing will better set them up for the transition. And most of the guys in the room, and Andrew Gallucci, who I met yesterday, a Carlton player, is down here investing his time. He's a qualified accountant. He's worked in an accounting firm prior to getting drafted, but he wants a change of industry. But he's down here. So there's guys that have done a lot, and the study thing is massive, and a lot of players are getting education now, which is great.
So, Rado, what's your process that Sports Ready go through with helping these guys, not only while they're playing or after they're playing, but even before they're playing? I know there's some guys that don't finish school, you're able to place them. I know there's a lot of guys that you're able to place in TAC Cup clubs to start doing some administration. So what's the process there for you guys?
Well, we've been running a program since 2002 called the Next Goal Program. And I think throughout a player's career, there's great support from the Players Association with funding to go and do education and all that. I love this Next Goal Work Placement program because it's real experience, and it gets a guy in front of real employers, and the amount of jobs that have come from that, because the employer identifies them as a player, a person with a profile, great networking skills, the practical skills they can build on, but fundamentally they're good people. So, you know, I think of a story yesterday from Ben Ross, who did a Next Goal Work Placement while he was playing at North Melbourne with the practice with Jason Cunningham. You know, he worked there for 4 weeks. It was almost like a four-week job interview. By the end, he got employment for 6 months. That rolled over 12 months into full-time, you know. So there's numerous stories like that, which is really good.
The other question I had it's for both of you, but mainly for Raiden. The whole thing about players when they get to the end about wanting to stay in football because they don't know anything different. Now, I've just got a text message from a former player saying that you get institutionalised almost, that it's almost a safer option to stay in the game because that's what you know. So you go into welfare or development or into coaching because that's safe. But it's almost what you're doing, Raiden, is completely different. It's to actually get them out of that bubble and get them into... Could we call it normal society almost?
Yeah, and that's right. But there's also those players that want to stay in the game. And I suppose the game's growing where there's a lot more opportunities and well-paid jobs within the game.
So do you see it as safer to stay in there, or is that being unfair?
No, I think it's individual. I think all these players come together on an AFL list because they can all play football, but they've all got different personalities and different interests. Some guys just know that they'll become a physio or they'll work with animals or something like that. You know, I remember 10 years ago placing Matthew Stokes with the Melbourne Zoo, working with the big cats there because that was his passion. You know, so I think there are those guys that genuinely want to stay in football because they love football. And I think you're right, there are a couple that feel like that's the safe option because that's all they know.
At times, I think, yeah, you're right. It's a safe option. But it's also probably, it keeps their status a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Whereas going into the workforce, you're basically starting from scratch. You're starting from the bottom of the tree again. So particularly an older guy that's, you know, played 10 or 15 years and had a really successful career, it's hard to get that into their head that, you know what, if I go into the workforce now, I'm going to the ground floor and I've got to work my way up, where, you know, they've played football for 10 or 15 years. You know, they're in the penthouse at the moment with that status.
But there's also, I think, a factor of you going into the workforce and there's that element of normalcy, whereas if you stay as a coach or stay involved in an AFL, you've still got that buzz. Yeah. And, Huff, you've spoken about this. When you finish playing, losing that buzz of not being an AFL footballer,
it's the win and, the
being
win and,
normal.
Win and, it's the win and loss on the weekend that you miss.
Yeah.
You work all week to get to Saturday or Sunday or whenever you play, and you know you're going to have a win or a loss. Whereas in the workforce, you don't necessarily get that same buzz.
But what about the status of being an AFL footballer, being involved in an AFL football team and what goes with that?
I reckon that might be overplayed a bit. No, I reckon particularly if you've had a career that spans more than perhaps 5 years, the novelty wears off a bit. It's your job. It is your job, and you understand that as a player. And whilst there's some trappings that go with it that are quite nice and quite advantageous, it's not the big... It's one of Hollywood superstars or that type of thing where it's massive news. I mean, there's 800 of them.
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
I think it's overplayed a bit, the AFL thing.
I think they get excited to get out of the system, a lot of them. You know, it's a big relief and to go and learn something new. And I think it's an exciting time for these players to... All the energy and they've put into their preparation and into their football training, they can now refocus that and redirect that focus to something else and being successful at something else. And I think of a guy that's going to come down today, I've already mentioned, but CBRE and Nick Lower. Nick Lower works for CBRE now, and you couldn't find a more passionate salesman. You know, all his energy is going into being the best salesman he can be for the company. The same passion he probably put into his career that spanned over three clubs.
And Big Brother.
That was his brother.
That was his brother.
Ed was a big
but
brother.
Ed's in the real estate game too.
What about the transition the guys that have to make? They're out there training every day, lifting weights every day, but then having to sit under a desk from 9 to 5. How do you find that transition for the guys?
Once again, I think if they try to do that throughout their career and, you know, do some sort of work placement and slowly transition, but I think it's tough. And I think it's tough for every one of us. I don't think there's one player out there that's ever transitioned that wouldn't give it back, wouldn't go back to being an AFL player. So I think that's something that they've just got to experience and get through. But you're right. You know, it's to get paid good money to hang out with your mates and to stay fit is a great career. But they've had to move on.
Last one from me. How many networks does Sports Ready have Australia-wide that are able to provide opportunities for the guys?
Yeah, well, we're essentially a traineeship company. We've got we've got partnerships with the big four banks, Australia Post, Officeworks, where we place trainees nationally. You know, we've been around since 1994. It was a Kevin Sheedy initiative.
Was it?
The foundation of the company was to assist AFL players, and you know the company's growing and. We've got a really big Indigenous employment department. I think we've got about 80 or 90 staff nationally, and I might be wrong here, but about a quarter of those are Indigenous staff. So a big push in that area. But across the 17 years we've been running work placements, the range of industries that we've been able to establish a relationship has been very, very broad, and you know the players have got to reap the benefits of that.
Nice work. Well, it's going to be another big day here for the players. They've had one day yesterday with the AFLPA, and you guys at Sports Ready take over a little bit today from a careers perspective. A careers expo will be held later on this morning for the players that attend today, let alone listening to the double Cobra King, Nathan Thompson, which will be a highlight for them. You mentioned Nick Lower, Guy Ragone's going to be here with his work, plus Cal Moore, former Richmond player Ben Harrison, Brad Weir, Mark Porter, all players that have transitioned into really good careers, and they're going to hopefully at some stage help some other players do the same thing.
Yep, that's right. And yeah, I mean, the support that we received from all these employees that have come down at short notice to offer up real jobs or real opportunities for these players has been great. And even we've tried to identify industries that we've seen that players have been interested in over the years. So we've got Victoria Police coming down, their recruitment arm, and I was speaking to the guys last night, and you know, apparently Vic Police are on a big recruiting drive at the moment, trying to employ about another 3,000 people by 2020, and they see AFL players as a great fit for that. So hopefully plenty of opportunities. Are they going to walk away with a job today? No, but hopefully they get an opportunity to follow up some leads and start them on their journey.
Go down the Aaron Henneman.
Yeah, he's in the critical response unit, so he's
big Peter Street is a...
Peter Street was. A, there's a few officer, guys yeah. that are, yeah, yeah. going down that path.
Law enforcement, great stuff. Well done, Radar. Nice to see you again. Look forward to...
How many games did you play with Raiden Tellis, Daniel Hufford?
Well, most of them. Well, just about all of mine, I reckon.
Yep.
If he wasn't there,
yep.
it would have been 150-odd.
Correct.
With Radar.
Yep. How many did you play at Hawthorn?
153. Oh. 53 or 4. Yeah. Anyway, somewhere in there.
What's life membership?
150.
Ooh,
Snuck in. Wasn't silly. I knew what I was doing. Thank you, Radar. Thanks for having us down this morning. Right.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Raiden Tellis with us, the National Manager for AFL Programs at AFL Sports Ready, who are looking after us today here down at Moonee Links for the inaugural outduction program. Wonder how many Stokes is going at the zoo these days. I might find out during the break. After that, the early mail. We're racing at Sale today. We'll find you a winner, just like we did yesterday with Matt Kamani, Hall of Fame star.